from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
He brings the passion.
For what? I want to know now. I'm mentally invested. Don't tell me to pray and you don't say what for.
He brings the perspective.
Yeah, I think they both have a great point. Get off me, text line.
He's truly one of a kind.
That is wow.
Oh, my God. Oh.
And he's doing a great job.
Okay. I need you to man up and say what you really want to say.
Simon, you're doing a great job.
They are Steiny and Guru.
Yeah.
On 95.7 The Game.
All right, what's going on, Bay Area? Evan Giddings in for Matt Steinmetz with Daryl the Guru Johnson. Final day of the week. It's a payday Friday, too. I'm feeling good, man. What's going on?
That was my favorite day. I call this Christmas in the Johnson household.
You even got a haircut.
Yeah, catch me. Shout out Marky D.
Looking
catch
fresh.
Catch me Monday, then I'm like, oh, boy.
Right, you swimming today.
I'm going to enjoy these next 2 days, and we're going together.
Yes.
Kay couldn't get a day pass from the missus, but we're going to go see Ohtani at the Coliseum.
Yes, we are. Wait, yeah. Ken, you're...
I'm going.
Yeah, you're showing up.
Oh, my goodness.
My wife ain't coming.
Oh. Air on aisle goo.
E-goo. No, yeah, he's showing up in the big three shirt. Logie, you got Mulder, Huddy.
Yeah. Go see some Dodger A's baseball.
Yes, sir. Yeah. Well, and no, it's interesting, too, because we also got a big giveaway, including our own big three here. The Hoop It Up tournament's going to be coming up on Sunday, August 11th.
Yeah.
We're going to be giving away three opportunities at 12 o'clock at high noon for three listener teams. So three people will get in to call in, and then you can have up to five people, three starters, two subs for the Hoop It Up tournament at Thrive City coming up on August 11th. So we got more information coming up on that as we roll throughout the show. But Goom, look, the sun's finally out. The fog is fading. It feels like things are beginning to shine a little more on the Bay Area. And speaking of, we got our own getting enshrined tomorrow in Patrick Willis. And
look,
throughout the show, the 49ers to me are still top of mind. There's a couple of things to clean up perhaps on the Warriors front. The Giants are in Cincinnati getting ready to take on the Reds. There was something from Team USA that kind of bothered me. They're playing tomorrow, but I do want to get into that. Also, you got a gripe coming up at 1:30.
Oh, yes, I do.
Yeah, we got some stuff to get off our chest. But the first place, I think just kind of, I don't know, expecting greatness is not... It becomes commonplace in the Bay Area, Goo, but it's something that doesn't happen everywhere. And someone like Patrick Willis is an individual and an athlete that has just always embodied greatness. I mean, it's kind of stuffed into a small bottle because he was retired by the age of 30. But 5 All-Pros, 7 Pro Bowls in, 8, 9 NFL seasons. The guy was ultimately dominant and a part of one of the most dominant defenses that we've seen walk, at least at the time, on Candlestick Field.
No doubt. And I'll throw it to you. Ask me what I did last night, E.
What'd you do?
I watched the 2014 NFC Championship game. Again, one of the greatest football games ever to me. And it was with Justin Smith, Patrick Willis, Richard Sherman, Niners Seahawks. And it just let me just marvel at how great Patrick Willis was. And I'm gonna be real early. Evan, I kind of forget. We tend to forget because the Niners, since 19 have been dominant. They got a new defense, but Patrick Willis was a bad boy. I'm happy for him. But Evan, the crazy takeaway was that team as great and dominant as they were. And Kaepernick was in his bag. Aldon Smith, before the trouble, that defense was so great. they didn't get it done either. They got close, and it kind of just is eerie when you look at this cast of characters in regard to this Niner defense and how great they are. Evan, the bottom line is Willis and the Cowboy couldn't get it done. They got close under Harbaugh, and I'm thinking, what defensive unit is better, that one or the one under Bosa? And it's a great conversation. There's no losers, but watching Patrick Willis roam the field like a Fred Warner or better than the Fred Warner, I don't even want to pit them together, is special, and I can't wait to for his enshrinement. And I'm sure we'll see tears, or not even tears, Evan, just emotion.
Yeah, and it's a reminder of once was. And I kind of want to use Patrick Willis to get into this idea of, I think a lot of people were understandably connected to those teams. I mean, they were full of life. Harbaugh was somebody that just injects and exudes confidence. And every team that he has ran, including the one that he currently is under, is a team that I feel like you have to have belief in. And I think there's a reason why Jim Harbaugh, for example, is going to be at the Hall of Fame enshrinement this weekend. He's going to Canton. I think he's taken his linebackers coach and former teammate of Patrick Willis, Navarro Bowman, with him. But just thinking about those teams, those Niners teams, like, what connects you to them? What connected you to them? Because to me, it was this identity that in many ways was set by someone like Patrick Willis. When I think of Hall of Famers, I think of players that are synonymous and faces of franchise, are leaders, and represent the identity of teams. Patrick Willis represented the identity of toughness, this smash-mouth, hard-nosed football that the 49ers used to get to two NFC championships and, of course, the Super Bowl. They didn't win, but that was a supremely small window that they, I thought, got just about everything out of that they could, except for, of course, the chip.
Yeah, no doubt. And I'll say this, Evan, when you ask what connected you to that team, you know, I think of the late Oakland Raiders in the 70s. You know, they use intimidation as one of their tactics, but it was that natural, we got talent to go on, to go with intimidation. That's what that Niner defense was on both sides of the ball to me. So when you ask me what connected me to that Niner team or what made him successful, and I agree with you, Harbaugh is, I hated to see him go. Okay, that's a whole nother story. I think he's going to win where he's at with the Chargers, but at the end of the day, it was just, they were intimidating. That whole defensive unit that I talked about, Dante Hittner, a.k.a. Dante Whitner, Evan, they were powerful, man. And I felt like when you played the 49ers on both sides of the ball, even with Gore and the guys and Kaepernick, they had swag, but they also had that natural intimidation. I don't know if you ever met somebody that's naturally tough, and then you got the ones that want to be tough when they get some Henny or something in them, and it's like, dude, no, nobody wants to be around you. But then you have those men and women that carry themselves professionally, but it's that natural essence of an, you don't want to mess with Evan. You know what I mean? And there's something to that. And that's what that Niner team, watching that game last night, and they didn't win that game, Evan, but it was a 15-round Frazier Ali. And I'm like, damn, the Niners have two iterations of dominant football that didn't culminate, not yet, with Kyle, into a chip.
Well, and they're doing it different ways. Like, I think the Shanahan teams have evolved from kind of this defensive first group into now more of an offensive driven team. But those Harbaugh teams were always built on their defense. They're always built on being able to win at the line of scrimmage. And Patrick Willis is kind of representative of it. Navarro Bowman might have been, you know, the second best linebacker, you know, at the time, and was second on the Niners himself. But, you know, like, what connected me to that team was a guy like Justin Smith, because I always felt like he was somebody that didn't necessarily get the shine. He didn't get what, you know, all the accolades were going, all the sacks were going to Alden Smith, all the tackles were going to Patrick Willis, all the interceptions were going to the back end. But this was a guy that just embodied the grit of those groups. And so that was a player that connected me to those teams. And I'm just curious, like, what connects fans to their teams? Is it's not always the best player. In fact, I feel like hardly it's just the best player. Like, you know, we love the Currys, but the reason why someone like Klay Thompson not being around hurts is because you feel connected to him. Everyone knows that Curry's the best.
Yeah.
But they feel connected to Klay. They feel connected to Dre. Maybe they felt connected to Andrew Bogut, or, you know, a player like that. And so I just wonder who connects fans to the Niners, both in 2012 through 14, you know, kind of the Harbaugh era, 2011 to 2013, I should say. But like, what connects you to them? What makes you feel something when you watch them play?
I love this, Evan. And my father, Norman, told me, son, you can never judge feelings. If somebody's telling you how they feel, that's how they feel. It's not up to you to judge that. You sit back and hear it. And Evan, hearing you talk, I'm going to give you this answer and you tell me if it's valid. Harbaugh connected me to that Niner team. And our coach is off limits. I think coaches go a long way in people having confidence in the coach to get the said players ready and have an identity and attitude. And I thought that's where the Niners, you talk about the Cowboy, Alden Smith, Cap, Bolden, all that swag I felt like came from the head coach. So to me, you know, my number one is Harbaugh, and I hated that he left, and I know he was his own worst enemy. You can't do what you did with your bosses. But, Evan, you tell me if that's fair. Think about it. All the great teams, a lot of tough. Phil Jackson, wherever he went, because you felt like he was the dad in the room or the psychologist, and he had something that a lot of Popovich. So Harbaugh, to me, and that's why I was so sad that he left, because he couldn't finish the job. I felt like that was the connection to me. That was the stamp that this Niner team is Billy Badass on the field, but they got the leader off the field that sets the tone. I don't know if you find that valid or invalid, me going at a, you know, putting it on a coach.
No, I think so. And 888-957-9570 is the number. Evan and Versteiny with Goo. You know, what connects you to a team? Is it an individual? Is it the coach? Is it just the way that they play? I do think there are certain individuals that symbolize the style of play, and Patrick Willis was one of those guys.
Man.
You know, when you think about Hall of Famers, again, I think the criteria for me is somebody that you think about and you say, oh, that's Patrick Willis, 49er, defense, dominant. That's the first three things that pop up top of mind. And they all have to be aligned, and they all have to be without hesitation. And that's what Patrick Willis, I think, also brought every single Sunday. He brought an essence of non-hesitation, because that dude, in a way, like, he was one of the first linebackers that I saw. I'm sure there were ones before him. Mm-hmm. And there certainly have been them at the linebackers after him. He was the first guy I saw that could run a 4-5 and could get you in space, got sideline to sideline, but was still
man,
as strong as an ox. Like, he was fast, but he was also a guy that you could not run over. He was, you know, he tackled like Ray Lewis, but he ran like a free safety. And there just weren't players like that at that time. Now it feels like a lot of linebackers, just because the game is more pass heavy,
yeah,
you have to be fast in order to be a middle linebacker. You have to run a 4-5. But I also think that what he represented, he wasn't a guy that really chirped a lot. He wasn't a guy that talked. He let his play speak for what he did and who he was. And that's where I think I draw a lot of comparisons. I think people do too. I hear it a lot. Him to Fred Warner.
Mm.
Like, Fred Warner to me is also very much a leader. And Patrick Willis was the ultimate leader of those defenses.
Man, I love it, Evan. And he also had 135 solo tackles. You talk about just his, he wore Ray Lewis's number. You know what I mean? 52 and 135 solo tackles in 2007. But you got me to thinking, and Evan, there's no loser in this. If I asked you, Warner and Greenlaw, or the Bowman and Willis, which way would you go?
Willis and Bowman.
Yeah. And there's no shade at Warner. They're bad boys, but that just tells you the Niner fans have been spoiled when you talk about that backer position. Like, those are two sets of four studs in that right there.
And that's no slight.
Not at all.
That's no slight.
Right, you're right. I mean, what's going to the Hall? He'll be inducted tomorrow.
Yeah, Navarro Bowman was a first team all pro. You know, that was a guy that once Willis had to prematurely step away, stepped right in and picked right up where he left off. You know, not to say that Dre Greenlaw couldn't do that, but
he's a bad boy too.
He is, and that dude hits hard. This is from the 707, the Xfinity Mobile text line. Juszczyk is a man who embodies the Niners, and even just a good football player in general. Humble, tough, talented, and makes sacrifices. Well, I think the position, you need to make sacrifices to be a fullback. For the 510, saying Patrick Willis actually ran a 4-4. I mean, that's even more impressive, you know, but again, that combination of speed and power was rare, at least from what I can remember about linebackers, middle linebackers at that time were more built and kind of towards the end of, you know, in the 2010s, still built to stop the run first.
Mm.
But Patrick Willis could do it all. You know, you could put him on a tight end. You could get him downhill. and he would just absolutely blow you up. And there was also something about how natural and easy the game felt for him that just watching him, it was, you know, you see the muscles, you see the speed, you see the tenacity.
He had it all, man.
But it didn't ever look like it was difficult for him. He just always was around the ball, and he made the game of football, which is not, look easy.
Yeah, and again, I keep talking about passion, tears, or whatnot, and we talk about his career being cut short. But man, Evan, it just speaks to his brilliance on the field that when you look, you know, he didn't have a 12-year career. When you look at the log, he got the most of every game he played, and I'm sure we'll see passion out there tomorrow when he, you know, gives a speech. But I just can't get past the version of the Niner defense now, which is dominant, and that version that got oh so close. And it's like, you know, everybody plays, we hear the athletes say everybody plays to win a championship. Dan Marino didn't get one. Charles Barkley didn't get one. But Evan, that doesn't stop, you know, the football world to step back and know who's balling out. And Patrick Willis, unfortunately, doesn't have a ring, but he'll get a different type of ring when he's inducted into a fraternity that's second to none. When you talk about Hall of Fame, Evan, there's no higher honor.
No, there's not. Look, he's going in with a lot of talented players. You know, Julius Peppers, Andre Johnson. Like, there's a lot of talent going into the Hall of Fame. But I think also what I'm excited about, just sticking with Patrick Willis for a moment, is the fact that we get to hear him. And that was, we've heard him now more that he stepped away from the game, and he's been on these airwaves. He's a fantastic interview. But I think because he was such a soft-spoken, humble type of person, you know, out of Tennessee, came via Ole Miss. I should say he's from the state of Tennessee, yeah, but went through Ole Miss. You know, was a guy that I just always felt like spoke with his play. And, you know, even like the visual of him playing with the cast on, you know, playing with a broken hand, but still just like clubbing guys left and right. And then not being the rah-rah dude that you expect at the podium. You know, he is very presidential. And I love those players because there's something about the game of football that I respect more than any, where guys are able to turn the switch off. You know, when they're on the field, they're monsters, they're dogs, they're animals, just the way that they're able to hit and heat seek specifically at that position. But the moment that they get off the field, or the moment that the whistle blows and 60 minutes are up, they just go back to being themselves. And Patrick Willis is a great guy. And I don't think it's a coincidence that you're seeing players, you know, fly and take time off from their own schedule, going to Canton, Ohio, to celebrate the greatness of this man and what he gave to this organization in San Francisco.
Yeah, Evan, well said. And that's the best part of it. When you talk about the effect and the relationships and the people that we haven't heard from, even Patrick, for that matter, you know, coming to town to support you know, something so great that he'll celebrate. But I want to hear about his journey. And I don't know how many minutes they have now, you know, coming out of Brewston, Tennessee. And you mentioned Ole Miss is where he played. But all I know is he was a silent assassin. That's what I look at. And Fred Warner, you brought up Fred Warner. He has some of that. But I see Fred being more demonstrative now, Evan, even after tackles. But I was watching that game again last night, the 2014 NFC Championship. And when Willis would make a tackle or just stuffed a run and pop a running back, mm-hmm, he just got up and went back to the huddle. It wasn't that, but it still was menacing, Evan. He didn't have to do all that. I'm pointing at you, but you just knew that's a dude and he ain't playing.
No, but when they do talk, you do hear that level of confidence. It's not an arrogance. It's, yeah, just an understood, I don't know, self-confidence that just oozes. It emanates from all of these players that perform at that kind of level. And that's where I do think Fred Warner separates himself. And I think it's the reason why, you know, just for example, yesterday we talked about the top 100 list. Fred Warner is the highest ranked player on the 49ers. And I think it's a combination of his level of play as well as, look, he's just the best at what he does. You know, Patrick Willis, from the moment he stepped onto the field, he was first team all pro, led the league in tackles his rookie season. Mm-hmm. He was the best at what he did from the moment he took the field. While Fred Warner wasn't that immediately, he's now grew quickly, I should say, and has been at that level for a long time as the best middle linebacker, best off-ball linebacker in football.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what I'm looking for when I hear him talk, Evan. You know, these guys put it all, you know, their life on the line, per se, their health, every Sunday. And he did that for multiple years, and he was great at his job. We've talked about it. But I do wonder, not being able to say I'm a Super Bowl champion, how that, not impact, or it could be, like, how much does he think about that? Or is he somewhere where, you know, I'm content. I was blessed. And even to get in, because, Evan, I'm going to be honest, I didn't think he had the duration. I didn't think he had enough years to where maybe they bypass him. So this has to be awesome for him and his family. But I do wonder, guys, and I mentioned the Marinos and the Patrick Willises that had their, Marino didn't have his career cut short, but the fact that they were so close to that ring and didn't get it, I wonder, is that something they just compartmentalize and move on? Or, Evan, do they think about it a lot, you know, when they watch football on Sunday? Or are they further from the game than we actually think? And, you know, you hear former athletes say once they're done, Evan, you know, they're not, they don't have the remote in the hand. It's not 24/7 like fans. They kind of get away from it. So I'm curious to see if that will, you know, rear its head, but just how much of not, of getting close and not getting it done does consumes them.
It probably holds a little place in where they are, but I also think just, I mean, with how they're accomplished. I mean, right now you take a look at the 2024 class of Hall of Famers, and you know, there's no quarterbacks. So there might not be as much limelight on this one because you're not seeing in recent memory, you know, like a Peyton Manning go in, or I think, you know, a Drew Brees who's coming up. So, but like Dwight Freeney is a Super Bowl champ.
Bad boy.
But I think he and Steve McMichael, of course, with the 85 Bears, are the only Super Bowl champs that are going in. You know, Julius Peppers did not win a Super Bowl, though he played in one.
Carolina.
Patrick Willis obviously played in a Super Bowl, did not win. I don't think Andre Johnson ever got to a Super Bowl, but he did not win one.
Beat somebody's ass on the field. Do you remember that?
Yeah. Cortland Finnegan.
Dude, you were, Evan, he put hands on that dude,
yeah,
man.
That was a bit aggressive.
Fight. Yeah, a bit aggressive. I love that.
Speaking of aggression, who was the guy that Patrick Willis just, like, decapitated on the Jets? I think it was a tight end over the middle. Oh, I forget the name of the player, but he just absolutely rocked
now
him.
You got me wanting to lick it up.
No, man. I don't even know
Brad
if he can make
Smith,
that.
I think was his name.
Brad Smith.
Lick it up.
Yeah,
man.
I have the highlight somewhere. I'm telling Ken where it is.
Good
thank
job
you
this morning, Lubby.
But I don't even, you can't even make that hit anymore.
What? There you go. You can't even, you're
you
off
can't
the game
make that hit anymore,
yeah,
man. It's just like, oh, and speaking of, here's my favorite hit of, okay, of Patrick Willis' career, because it actually came in college against LSU.
And fits it all. With some attitude. Wow, they described him, Coach O described Patrick Willis as the best player on the team. He's played with a cast on the last couple of weeks. He got it off last week, and look at him. This is form tackling at its best. Take some of that. Tell you what, we're going to stand in here fight toe-to-toe. That is classic. How you wrap them up, drive your legs, and if you can get under them, you get your pad level low and under them, lift him up and give him another little taste of it.
I mean, that was just a WWE pile driver.
You're going to be doing that one day, Evan, and you got that. You got that in your repertoire. But, dude, there's nothing like a hit, and then the announcers feel it and start talking. That was beautiful. Hey, I want to run this by you. Golden Harvest on the YouTube chat. I hadn't heard this. Maybe he'll touch on it tomorrow if, in fact, true. Willis already said he regretted retiring early. I don't know. I hadn't heard that, but I could understand it. But, you know, I appreciated what Willis did when he said, I've set a standard for myself, my name, my family, my team. And if I feel like I can't be to that level, I got to go. And that's what I respected so much about him. But I hadn't heard, you know, maybe down the road, year or two later, feet are better or whatnot. So maybe he'll talk about that. I don't know. But I hadn't heard that.
I also respect the player in football stepping away and prioritizing their health.
Damn,
you know, I mean, there is, you know, look, you're putting your health in jeopardy every time you step out on a football field. But to take as many licks as he did and to deal with the type of injuries that he had to deal with, it just would have been such an uphill climb that I respect him in a way for recognizing that. Look, it was time. You know, if he wants to live the life that he can, health, you know, with as much health as he has left, It demanded doing what he did. And again, he's a Hall of Famer. It wasn't like he hadn't accomplished anything. And I also wonder, you know, where the 49ers were at that time when he was forced to kind of step down and step away. He had already helped elevate them to a place that, look, frankly, not a lot of teams get to. And so he'd seen just about as close as you can football nirvana. The only step left was to get to the Super Bowl. And I think because of a combination of things, you know, Baltimore is one of them. The Seattle Seahawks, you could say, are another.
The Giants, your boy.
The New York Giants.
Dropping the ball.
Yeah, punt returns. You know,
sorry.
Football happens, yeah. Man.
Football happens.
And that is the tough part, I think, about being a defensive player. You obviously had an impact on the game. Patrick Willis did more than most. But at the end of the day, you know, it's what we talked about a lot yesterday. A lot of times it comes down to quarterback play. And in some situations, the Niners didn't have as good of a quarterback as the other team. And in some situations, maybe not as good of a head coach.
I know we're up against it, but Evan, I don't want to sound selfish. You and Kay and Lubman, let me know. But the goal is obviously to win a championship. But the goal is also, as a young kid, to be the best you can be. Evan, if I gave you a choice, Hall of Famer, no Super Bowl, Super Bowl, no Hall of Famer. Because before you answer, Evan, I think I want to be a Hall of Famer. I want that chip, but if I didn't get it and I know that I was honored and I was in a class and a fraternity because I was the top tier, one of the best to ever do it, I think that would make me sleep better at night.
Well, yeah, I'd rather be Allen Iverson than James Jones, you know.
Or Robert Horry?
Well, Robert Horry was, you know, a big factor in 7 titles. It's a little bit different. But
I'd rather be Iverson than Warriors, I guess what I'm saying. And no shade at Robert, but...
Well, Iverson shot a lot.
Yeah, he's a Hall of Famer. Yeah, you know what I mean, Evan? Like,
I do.
He left it all on the line. It's just, that's how I am.
I do. And I also want to kind of extrapolate from Patrick Willis, you know, bringing it back to the Niners of modern day. Look, Patrick Willis is getting tried on Sunday, going to the National Football League Hall of Fame in Canton, Ohio. He's going to have friends and family there. Man. It's going to be a great celebration of his career with the San Francisco 49ers. The identity of that team. What was the identity of that team as it relates to now? What is the identity of this team? What is the identity of the 2024, this upcoming season, these 49ers? I can tell you what Patrick Willis's 49ers were. I want to hear what you think about these 49ers. 888-957-9570 is the number. Evan in for Steiny with Daryl the Guru Johnson. And that's what's coming up next on the game presented by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Sure about this one. Somehow he gets to his feet. That was Patrick Willis who hit him high. Michael Lewis had him down low.
Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
Jim Nantz on the call, CBS Sports. Dude, he bent him like a paperclip.
He did, man.
These dudes
earn every dollar they get. I don't know. Ooh. Whatever your contract is, if you get tackled and you're in the NFL, Evan, it could be over in one play, man.
I mean, that was another part that was highlighted by the receiver, Doc. Right? All those guys going over the middle just getting absolutely slammed. I mean, they don't have any say in where their body goes once it's up in the air. It's dictated by the dude that's hitting you.
Yeah, I'll say this to that, though. Look at him, my guy. I'll say this to that. Quarterback, hold my beer. They get hit, Evan, and they don't see it coming. In the sternum, in the chest cavity. Like that receiver, Doc, there's nothing on the quarterback. Receivers get hit. They get popped. But flags are good. These quarterbacks, they take it, Evan. I couldn't do it.
Well,
there goes Evan in the flat, and then pow! Like this. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, we got a first down, but nobody saw what I took. years off my life, man.
Oh, and sometimes it's not even in the game. Justin Herbert's got plantar fasciitis, and now I got to think about Chargers not having a quarterback.
It's not athlete's foot, Evan.
No, it's not.
I can't believe people yesterday thought I was saying it was athlete's foot.
I can't believe it either. The people that think that we don't know what we're talking about on this show. I mean,
talk to them,
we got like 102% accuracy rate.
Yeah.
That's also a bit of a fib. All right, Evan Giddings in for Matt Steinmetz of Daily Guru Johnson. Again, at 12 o'clock, we got our Hoop It Up giveaway coming up. 3-on-3 basketball tournament in Thrive City, second year, Sunday, August 11th, 9 a.m., 7 p.m., 95.7 The Game is putting together a team in the tournament, and we're paying for registration for 3 listener teams as well. That's today at noon. The Hoop It Up tournament, owned and established by Kevin Garnett. Shout out to Lucas in the back there trying to pump it up. Director of Sports. It includes recreational divisions from ages 8 to 18 plus, adult divisions at all levels as well. 5 players, 3 players on the court, 2 subs. For more details, go to hoopitup.com/San Francisco. But here at 95.7 The Game, again, we're giving you an opportunity at noon to win a place for you and up to 4 friends. Again, wow. Listener teams, 3 listener teams we're sending on August 11th to the Hoop It Up tournament at Thrive City. And we're also going to get to our perfect 3-on-3 team in a little bit. Maybe we'll do that around noon. But right now we're talking about Patrick Willis, his enshrinement in the Hall of Fame, and just what that kind of represented for that section, that era of 49ers football, because his head coach, Jim Harbaugh, is also going to be there. I mean, to me, Willis, and he was the leader of that team. He symbolized tenacity. He symbolized toughness. He symbolized the grit that I think embodied that era of 49ers football. But if I asked you, Goo, you know, what's the identity of the 49ers right now, of the San Francisco 49ers entering 2024? What is their identity?
Wow, I'm going to say talent. They're talented everywhere, Evan, I believe. I wanted to say physicality, but with Greenlaw going down, I'm starting to worry about what I saw in the playoff run. You didn't ask this, but I'm telling you, in the playoff run, what I didn't see, because I hold the Niners team on both sides of the ball at an upper echelon, and they didn't meet that for me. So I don't know, now that Greenlaw, we do know, won't be on the field Monday night against the Jets. I don't know when he's coming back, but I'm sorry, I can't get past that. That's going to hurt. And maybe they just knocked that out the park and you don't even miss them. But that leads me to believe something's going on with this great run in regard to the Niners and the physicality component, because I saw Green Bay almost take you down. I saw Detroit do it. I don't know why you didn't win the Super Bowl. So when you ask me going into this season right now, the constant, the one thing that I just, when I hear the San Francisco 49ers 2024, it's talent, Evan. That's their identity. And what bothers me about my answer is there's no definitive about, is that talent good enough to get it done, because you've been good enough, but you hadn't got it done. And there's a multitude of reasons why.
Yeah, I don't think anybody would refute you saying that the Niners have been the most talented roster over the last 5 years, you know, just from top to bottom. Now, teams have been different. There's been different parts in and out. Other teams have had talent as well, but just as a whole, like, who's got more players? Who's got more dudes? That's what's been so frustrating about them not being able to get it done. This is from the 650. We, the San Francisco 49ers, we play with an innovative and high-powered offense, particularly using the West Coast offense to emphasize short, precise passing, primarily featuring Christian McCaffrey, the best running back in football. Our strong defensive units, featuring standout players like Nick Bosa and Fred Warner, are crucial in controlling games and applying pressure on opponents, forcing them to turn the ball over or give it up. We combine a rich tradition of excellence with a passionate fan base, creating a formidable and dynamic presence on the field.
Well, wow.
That's well put. Mm-hmm. I think if I'm going to boil it down from that, along with what you said, Goo, the identity of this team is continuity. And what I struggle with is if that continuity is good enough. That's the question that we just have. Is that continuity, the chemistry, the core? Because not only have they had the most talent, I think they've also had the most players that have remained since 2019. You know, as far as players on offense, players on defense,
about that.
They got the same amount of guys. Well, not the same amount, but they got the most guys from that first Super Bowl run. That's a long time to keep this thing together. And it's produced A lot of NFC championship games, two Super Bowl appearances. But is the continuity good enough? Like, what can kind of shake up this team? Or do people not believe that it needs to be shaken in any direction? It just needs to be laid down and try and walk the path towards hopefully winning it all.
I love that word. Let me throw this to you when you talk about continuity. Do the holdouts or the situation of Ayuk and Trent Williams, do they impact the continuity, or is it just nothing to see here for you, Evan? They'll get back. Whenever they get back, they'll be ready to play. Or are you kind of like, that's what I'm talking about. It does take a hit because these two, I mean, two dudes they need. Nobody could sit here and lick anybody in the face and say they don't need these two dudes. We're assuming it's going to be Larry Kruger. We'll play this down later. He was on with Willard and Dibbs yesterday and said Ayuk is going to get traded. Filippone in Pittsburgh. He thought that again. Hey, just tell us how you feel and what you see. But Evan, does that impact continuity? Things off the field before the actual games, these holdouts.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's why I do think, number one, they want both of those players back in the fold. And number two, they need both of those players back in the fold because
they need.
That is the strength of this team. That is their identity. It's continuity. If you don't have the same pieces, I'm not so sure what I'm supposed to believe in. Now, they still have McCaffrey. They still have Kittle. You know, they still have a lot of things.
Right,
but
Devo.
They still have an embarrassment of riches, which apparently has been ruining a lot of viewing experiences for Team USA. With more on that in a little bit. But the embarrassment of riches in San Francisco needs to stay together, at least until you have to break it up. And I see no reason why they have to do anything outside of continuing to run this thing back and see how far it goes.
It's funny you go there because I put your face. I just erased your face with the curly hair and put Steinies on your on your shoulders. And he would say what I'm about to say. He would be like, Guru, you got to step back. You got to have perspective. But watching that game again, the Patrick Willis Niners, I'll just call it that, the Jim Harbaugh Niners, Evan, they were so dominant on both sides of the ball. We were watching, Michael Vick-esque, Colin Kaepernick do things that we hadn't seen, not just in the regular season, in the playoffs. And you just talked about it. It ended with Heartbreak Hotel once on the biggest stage, and then two other times on the next biggest stage, the NFC Championship games. And then, okay, Harbaugh's gone. You're on hard times. You build it back up with Kyle, but I can't shake Niner fans' heartbreak from here we are under Kyle. You're right. How many times, Evan, have talking heads and pundits said the Niners have the best collective roster? Do you know, like, they've earned that. Kudos to John and Kyle. But damn it, here we go again. Multiple NFC championship losses and a Super Bowl loss just last year where you were up 10. The similarities are scary. And the question I have, Evan, is when does it finally happen? Because the Niners at one point were 5-0 when they went. And now under different regimes, in this regime, you've lost three Super Bowls and multiple NFC championship games.
But when does it change? I mean, I think there's only really one part of this team that can change, that can grow, and that can separate this team from those past three that you talked about that came up short. That's the quarterback. And that's why if the identity is going to change, you know, if it is going to move from continuity into something else, that has to be driven home by Brock Purdy. And that's what I find fascinating about this season. I said it yesterday. I'll say it again. I think he's the most intriguing player in the entire National Football League because the 49ers have been knocking at the door for what seems like the better part of my life, but they haven't been able to kick the door in. They've had everything, right? I mean, if I just lined
he
up the teams right now,
life. Yes,
I lined up the teams right now. And you asked national media, you asked local media, you asked fans. I feel like 90% of people would tell you that the best roster in the NFL is in Santa Clara.
No doubt.
One of the best head coaches in the league is in Santa Clara.
And there's kudos in that. I'm not blind to that fact.
One of the
None
best.
Of us are.
I mean, the spine of this organization is about as strong as any, you know, from top to bottom. They got it all. So what can be the difference? What is the difference? I think the thing that Patrick Willis's team, to go back to them, was missing was a quarterback that could get them over the top, because they had it on defense. They had a great running game, had a solid offensive line, good head coach.
Now, Evan, that was good cap. They got him to the ball. But that was good cap in the Super Bowl. I mean, he was at the prime of his peak of his powers.
Colin Kaepernick was maybe the most dynamic quarterback that the Niners have had in recent memory. But, I mean, on that day, he got outplayed by Joe Flacco, in my opinion. Man. You know, Colin Kaepernick was a sensational talent, but he flamed out quite quickly, at least for, you know, kind of took to look at the totality now for very different reasons. But even before all the stuff with him happened, you know, I'm not so sure that he was going to be wearing a gold jacket the way that Patrick Willis was.
So when you just back to your Purdy point, because you are right when you use the word intrigue, is there any fear involved in that intrigue in regard to can he do more if he needed to, Evan? Or we talk about the future and this check and this payday that we're assuming he's going to get, and right now he's going to get it. How much, we don't know. But is there, to me, it's intriguing, but in that word, is there fear or wanting to know more about just how good he is?
Well, I'll tell you what I'm talking about, and I'll actually let Brock Purdy speak for himself because he was on with Tim Kawakami via the Odyssey original podcast earlier this week, the TK show. Here's what he had to say.
It's not like I've walked in and go, all right, year three, it's my third year playing here. Now this is my responsibility. No, it's just, it's been something over time that, you know, I think I've earned the respect of the guys here by the things that I've done, just how I carry myself in a humble manner, and they want to go to war with that kind of guy, and so it's sort of just naturally come about. But for me, it doesn't mean change or be a rah-rah guy, but be myself and be that competitive leader by nature, and guys want to follow that and go to war with that. So that's how I look at it.
So when I hear Brock Purdy defining what his leadership role is or how he's taken the next step forward, a lot of those qualities, I think, are qualities that Patrick Willis had. Now, they're very different players. You know, they're different human beings. They play different spots, have different physical gifts. But the idea of just gradually building himself into a leader with his play, not being the rah-rah guy, being competitive, having that fire, that's something that Patrick Willis was, no?
No, no doubt. And I'm not going to tell you, just for me, Evan, that's a prerequisite, like being the opposite or Draymond Green, a guy that's very demonstrative and, you know, draws attention to himself, like a Ray Lewis. I don't prefer one or the other, but I guess
whatever gets it done,
no doubt,
basically.
But the bottom line is, as great as Willis and that Niner team was, and 3 years into Purdy, Evan, they haven't got it done. And I'm damn sure not saying it was Willis or Purdy's fault, but the one constant in Ninerville is close but no cigar.
No, first of all, this is his third year. You know, he's really only had one full season to prove it, but that's why, you know, I think there's a lot of urgency surrounding, at least for me, this season. And I don't know if fans feel like there's urgency. I don't know if Purdy feels like there's urgency.
What would Ayuk say? Well, what the hell's going on, man?
I think there's urgency for Ayuk to get his money. You know?
He wants
to win.
Yeah.
But, yeah, there's urgency from Trent Williams. You know,
I'll never know what's going on here.
Are they hooking players up, Evan,
just to stay at home?
Who, Trent?
Yeah.
No, well, they can't. No, they literally cannot not fine him. You can only choose to pick up fines for players that are on their rookie deal, I believe. Trent Williams is not on his rookie deal.
Man.
So he's stacking 50 G's every single day. And he's making a lot of money, so he'll be okay. But he also wants to make guaranteed money to make sure that he's all right. I mean, the point about Ayuk, I think, is interesting. Is like
what's going on?
Well, I mean, what's going on is I think he's just waiting right now. And I don't know, they could have a wink-wink deal behind the scenes. I feel like it's important that just optically Trent Williams gets his money before Ayuk gets his. Maybe I'm off base there.
And that's all predicated and based off of just importance to the team, right? Because I feel like we could see a scenario, as long as both get done, I don't care who's first, but you feel like they're intertwined, like Trent's going to get handled before Ayuk. Because it's funny now, when I go back to that video, which I assumed Carter sent you, Ken, and I'm thinking, oh, by the time I wake up this beautiful payday Friday morning, Ayuk will have been signed. But then hearing you just say what you said, I'm thinking, well, we would hear too, there would be two bulletins out in regard to Trent, because you think he's going to go before Ayuk or get taken care of before Ayuk.
And maybe they happen on the same day. I just also, well, number one, I think Trent Williams is more important than Brandon Ayuk.
No, we all do.
And secondly, McCaffrey got done pretty quick. So that also happened before, obviously, all this went down. I think McCaffrey restructured his contract in June. You know, so that happened a while ago. And as we heard from Jennifer Lee Chan yesterday on the River Islands guest line, is that it just comes down to money. So I don't know when both of those deals are going to happen. When I saw the tweet from Coward yesterday, my eyes were raised, but my eyebrows were raised.
There you
I didn't
go.
Really like, I don't know.
Good try, Colin.
I think it means, along with everything else we've seen, that it is going to happen. And that, I don't know, that should make, I think, most 49ers fans feel good, because that means that Ayuk's not going anywhere.
Well,
which,
I don't want to pit Kruger against Cowherd, but our own Larry Kruger said, he's there every day, Evan. He feels like Brandon might be traded.
Well, do you want to just do that right now?
I would love to.
All right, so Larry Kruger was on with Willard and Dibbs yesterday via the River Islands guest line, and here's what he thinks will happen with Brandon Ayuk.
You know, I think we're reading into it too much. I mean, you got to think of it this way, Grandy. The two most dialed-in football people in the world are probably Rap Sheet for the NFL Network and Schefter for ESPN. They both are reporting that a deal is not imminent. So what was that? What did we see there? And I'll tell you, I don't know. It was, I don't know if that was, a hug of, hey, we've climbed a major hurdle in the negotiation and the rest is just dotting I's and crossing T's. Or if that was more like, hey, you know what? We're going to move you on somewhere else. I hope for the Niners and their fans that they're getting this deal done and he's not moving on. But if I was wagering based on that video, I would say there's a very good chance he's traded. That would be my thought.
And nobody's wrong in this. Nobody has an answer, but we're not even talking about deal. He was saying maybe they cleared the hurdle and a deal is imminent, but Evan, this is crazy. There's no bulletin board you could take me to and say it makes sense or the Niners are equal or even better without Brandon Ayuk.
No, they're not. But the devil's advocate position of it, and I know I generally occupy that position by the man who sits in this chair. He'll be back on Monday, by the way.
Tiny.
Yeah. But the thing about it is, yes, like on his face, the Niners are not better. Ricky Pearsall, he could be impressive. You know, he looks really good for a rookie. They're not better without a guy who was a second-team All-Pro receiver last year. But what you also have to weigh is, well, what else am I giving up? You know, in fact, we started this day talking about the identity of the Harbaugh teams.
Yeah. Physicality.
Defense. Yeah. I felt like they were a defense-first team. Okay, well, if you pay Brandon Ayuk, and you continue to invest this much money in your offense, you might take a step back on the other side of the football. Someone like Charvarius Ward is a free agent after this upcoming season. So is, I think, Diamador Lenore. You have to make decisions about your defensive line. How is your safety room going to look? Hufanga is up at the end of his deal. You know, so if you choose Ayuk, yeah, you're right. You're better this year than not having him. But how much does that hurt you down the line? It's probably the same thing that they're trying to figure out with Trent Williams. Not that they're going to pay him or not, but how much and how much does he want? How much guaranteed money does he want? And how does that impact our flexibility moving forward when we already have to table all this money for a quarterback after next summer?
One of my favorite stores I used to shop at growing up, Evan, The Gap. There's everything you said is spot on, but there's obviously a gap in regard to the money Trent and Ayuk are asking for. And right now, as it stands, what the team is willing to pay. And I know you guys kid me on this show all the time about, oh, Guru, you'd bankrupt the team. You wouldn't be a good GM. But Evan, you said something to me that if we were playing ping pong, I would have hit it back super hard. I don't care about the year. I care about this year. I care about this team and its window, regardless if you believe it's open or not. But if you allow the finances to make you lose Ayuk, to me, that just makes trying to accomplish your said goal this year way more difficult. So I'm not mad at Larry. I'm not mad at Cowherd. I'm just blown away. It's where it's at now. And that video had to mean something. Or was he saying, hey, let's go get Slurpees at the local 7-Eleven when we're done. I'll meet you. Like, how did that not produce a deal 48 hours after?
No, and I'm not saying, look, I want Brandon Ayuk on the team. I think he's a hell of a receiver. But, yeah, I also want to think about this season. But God forbid the 49ers don't win the Super Bowl, which I hate to break it to people. It hasn't happened since I was a year old. Then you do have to think about not just this year, but the next, thank you, but also the next year and the year after that, man. Because you want to be competitive. The 49ers have done, I think, a really good job of pushing some, but not all of their chips in for maximizing this window. And I continue to hear that, you know, this is the last year. This is the last year. And I do think that this year and next to some extent, It is big. You know, you want Brandon Ayuk back and Trent Williams under lock and key.
Continuity. That was your word.
You want the continuity, but what is the cost of the continuity? You know, I think a big reason why, look, the Niners have always been able to operate with the most talent in the league because they haven't had an answer at the quarterback position.
Wow.
Even Jimmy Garoppolo, like his contract by the time that they were into their Super Bowl window was very manageable. When they paid him, he was the highest paid quarterback. 2 years later, he was not the highest paid quarterback. He certainly wasn't 2021 when he led them to the NFC Championship game. Right now, they are looking at a quarterback that is going to, I think, reset the market. And so that finally is a position that factors into their decisions.
Wow.
Like,
he's not the one holding out, Evan. I guess I'm having a problem with that premise of we're worried about something down the road. How much continuity can you really have if you let price cost you talent?
Well, it's already costed you talent. I mean, Eric Armstead's not on the team anymore. I'd rather have Eric Armstead playing wow. nose tackle than defensive tackle than Malik Collins.
You wanted no part of the pay cut.
No, and I can't blame him for that.
But see, I feel like his departure, Evan, they miss him, but it wasn't impactful like an Ayuk, possibly.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.